Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is Nerd Nuptial, and we got a tableau of things to talk about today. That's right. That's right. French. We're classing up the joint. This is what's going on. So we're going to be talking, the main thing that we're going to be talking about today is Justice League.
Yes.
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 which, as of this recording, has a steady... And I'm just kidding about that. A not-so-steady 39% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's currently and continually dropping. So because of that reason, we want to talk about something a little bit more pleasant. A little bit more... something that gave
we
us...
We enjoyed,
a,
yeah.
Something that gave us a little bit more joy.
That's right.
Spoiler alert about how we felt about Justice League.
Seriously.
But we want to talk about Steven Soderbergh's Mosaic.
Yeah.
So, like, how about, can you tell the listeners what that business is?
Sure. So, I can't really even call it a television show yet because HBO is going to, like, release it in that form eventually. But right now it's an app.
Yes.
So on Apple TV, if you have one.
Or, like, you can download it on your phone.
Yeah, you can download it. And what it is an app. And you start off with one episode, and then after you watch this one episode, you choose who you want to follow.
Which character
you want to follow. So it reminds me a lot of like the Choose Your Own Adventure books.
Very much so.
Which is just a really cool like viewing experience. So like every choice you make, you get a different view of the show or what's going on in the show based on the choices you make. So, and what we did was we, you know, played the game basically, you know, through the app. So, you know, we chose our character each time and kind of like debated like, who do you want to follow?
Do we continue with this guy?
Right.
Or do we want to change gears and continue with
exactly.
this
person? Exactly. Yeah. So, and also throughout, there's like mini videos and like even like PDFs of like articles that they were talking about. And like little conversations that it's almost like extras, almost like you're watching the extra deleted scenes throughout the show, and they kind of pop up, and then you can kind of like swipe up on your app, and then you can watch those little mini videos if you want to.
Right.
So what we did was we like made our choices, so we followed the path to where we wanted to go, and then kind of... Wait, before we finished, didn't we kind of go back? Or did we finish first?
No,
we finished, right?
We finished a track. Like, it's kind of like a web.
Yeah.
Or like an upside down tree, a root system or something like
yeah.
that. Where it just kind of spreads out and you can go in all different directions.
Right.
And you don't, it's not one of those things where you, ever, no matter what track you take, you end in the same place.
No.
You can end in multiple places.
Right. So, you know, it's all the same story, but you kind of have a different feeling wherever you do end.
So the premise of the story
yeah.
is we wanted to kind of give you the experience
exactly.
before we talk
and
about
I think
the plot.
That's the coolest part about this is the experience of the fact that you have choice and that fact that like what we did was we like went through our choices and then we went back to the ones that we didn't see and it was really interesting because we got a very different impression of the story when we went our own way versus if we had gone a different way or like see the whole picture.
Yeah, the characters were peppered differently
right.
because we joined them later in the story instead of at the beginning.
Exactly.
So what it is that Sharon Stone, the Sharon Stone.
That's right. It's a good cast.
It's a very good cast. It's we've got Garrett Hedlund. Plays a big role in it, and he's the guy from Tron Legacy.
That's right.
And we have Paul Rubens in it as well. And Bo Bridges, and Jeremy Bobb, and Zandi Artig. And it's a really well-acted story. But Sharon Stone plays a children's author, and she just had one just crazy good idea, I think like 27 years ago or something like that. It was just
a book that like everyone had.
It defined a generation.
Right.
It was one of those books that's on every single shelf. It's in every single library. And she built a very wealthy life off of this one success.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's kind of going through a crisis where, did I just have that one idea? Is that all I am? Can I do something new? Can I create something more off of this? And so kind of how I described it to a friend of mine is that we follow, without giving anything away, because we don't want to spoil anything for
you. No, yeah, because depending on how you watch, too, you don't want to give anything away.
Yeah, like it's kind of the story of Sharon Stone and the men in her life, the men that get introduced into her life. Like there's mm-hmm. there's a handyman, there's a boy toy, there's the stereotypical gay best friend.
Right.
And there's the drifter and all these people, and there's the sheriff, and there's all these people in this town. I think it's in, is it Colorado or
I think it is in Colorado.
I think it's in Colorado, yeah. And so it's like ski country Colorado, yeah. Really ritzy.
I think so, yeah.
And so there's a crime is committed, and so it's about the investigation of that crime. The crime happened 4 years in the past, and then we're in present day, and we kind of go back and forth constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, this is a mystery of who committed the crime and mm-hmm. what was it about, what was the motivation, who were the players, and I think this was the perfect avenue for this experiment.
Yeah.
Because it made, like, if it was just like a casual drama, like, or a breakup or a romantic comedy or something like that, I don't think it would do as well.
Right.
But because it's a whodunit and a why they did it.
Right.
You want to explore. You want to see different avenues. You want to see different testimony.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it was a cool idea because we don't really have anything like that per se, you know, in today's media viewing experience. So it's just like a different way to view television.
Yeah.
And so we actually,
especially at this level.
Absolutely.
Of quality.
Right. I mean, when you have Steven Soderbergh writing, you're like, okay, well, at least I know the writing's going to be good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was really well done, and we really enjoyed the exploration of it, I think, was more than anything, was just the idea that, like, okay, we're making choices throughout our viewing experience. So I would definitely recommend doing it that way. They are going to release it as, like, a 6-part mini series,
yes.
Right, on HBO, which we were kind of bummed about because that kind of takes away what it was designed to do. Like, it was designed to be in this app. So
yeah, Steven yeah. Soderbergh, I just checked out, I just kind of looked at the credits. I thought he wrote some of the episodes too. He wasn't
oh, he didn't,
he wasn't the right, but he very much it was
okay.
It's his show.
Okay. I mean, it was very well written.
It was very well written. It was by Ed Solomon is who wrote it, but this is very much a Steven Soderbergh creation.
Okay. So it was his idea.
I think so. I'm
because his name is all over it.
Oh yeah, and with Steven Soderbergh, he shoots and edits and produces all of his own stuff. He edits under a pseudonym, and I'm pretty sure it's a female name. But like, yeah, he does so much in behind the scenes. But yeah, of course, he was the EP on this. He was the cinematographer, and I'm pretty sure he edited it, but I'm not quite sure. But this was very much his baby. He went to HBO to sell this, and he came up with the idea. He said, he's like, I want to do this. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is how I want to do it. I want to make an app. I want to, you know, make it deliverable like that. And this is the experience I want to give. And HBO said, like, okay, that's fine. We'll let you do that as long as you make a 6-episode miniseries that we can put on air.
Yeah.
And Steven Soderbergh has gone on record to say that, like, yeah, he's making the miniseries, but this is the experience. Like, the Mosaic app is the original intent on how it's supposed to be
seen. This is how you're supposed to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd recommend doing it that way. I mean, yeah, you can wait, but it's so much more fun.
It's so much more fun. And yeah. It's free.
Yeah.
It's a free download,
exactly.
Free watch. You don't have to have HBO.
Right. So that's even cooler.
So if you don't have HBO, watch it now. Watch it while it's still
right.
Available.
Yeah.
And because that's the thing is, like, part of me wants to watch the miniseries just to see how it's cut together.
Oh,
and another part of me is just like, well, we've already seen it.
I wonder how they'll do, like, the little things, though, because I think that was cool, too, or like
the pop-ups
were interesting. Mm-hmm. It was just like little things that you're just like, oh, that's cool.
A side note on the pop-ups, if you have a, if you're watching it on Apple TV and you're using a universal remote, don't use a universal remote to watch this, because you will need the feature.
Yeah, the, you need the Apple feature. Remote.
You need the Apple remote in order to watch it, watch these little special features. But yeah, like it's, it interests me to see how he's going to put it together. And I'm also, it also makes me wonder, how good is it without the experience? Like, are we enraptured by the story because of the app experience? And would we be as enraptured by the story if it was just straight narrative storytelling?
I'm pretty sure that what makes it unique is the app experience.
I think so too.
So I wouldn't be surprised if people who watch the 6-part miniseries would just be like, eh, it's okay.
Yeah.
So do the right way, like do it the intended way and actually do the app, especially since it's free.
and there, I don't really see that as a knock too terribly much, because I feel like the story was designed for the app.
Yeah,
it had the, absolutely. It had the right level of intensity, the right level of intrigue and complexity that if you put it in a straight narrative, maybe it would be too minimal. I don't know. Like,
I think that it would have to be designed almost that way, because otherwise it may not make sense because of the choices them, yeah. that you have. So, yeah, definitely recommend it. Go check it out.
It's free.
Yeah,
do it.
And do it. Do Why it. Not? And, do like, it. Do it with someone, because it's fun to kind of, like, argue over, like,
which way
you're going to go. Because I remember, like, one time I was like, no, I want to go this way. And you're like, I want
to. Like, convince me.
Yeah,
like,
convince me.
Tell me why.
Why do you want to go this way? So it was fun.
But it, like, one thing, and then we'll move on. Like, at the beginning, like, they introduce Garrett Hedlund's character. And I like Tron Legacy. I like him as an actor. I think he needs to do more stuff.
I couldn't even recognize him in the first episode because he looked so different.
Yeah, he had like a shaggy hair,
kinda, like,
full beard.
I felt kind of like embarrassed I didn't recognize him.
But when he was introduced, I was just like, and once he was introduced in the first episode, he looked kind of gruff. He looked like kind of a jerk. And then it gave you the option to follow him or somebody else. And I'm like, well, I mean, I don't want to follow this jerk, you know, like, so we'll move somewhere else. But then as we started going on, we're like, oh, wait, his character's super interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting to... Well, both characters are. Like, the
all
choices
the characters
you,
are,
yeah. All of them have dimension. You see kind of, like, behind the scenes, but...
It makes you wonder,
it does.
How would you have viewed the character or the story or the show if you followed him from the beginning? And it's just... It's really cool because there's only so many variations. Actually, I mean, there's quite a number of variations, and so everybody gets a little bit of a different peppered experience. So
yeah.
It's pretty fun.
And we were nerds, and we went back and, like, watched all of them.
In, like, 2 days.
Oh, yeah. So, like, once we did the whole experience, then we were like, okay, well, we didn't watch this one. We didn't watch this one. So let's go back and, like, rewatch it, like, all the ones that we didn't watch. And then we just decided from there. We're like, oh, okay. So
and
this
the app
changes.
Tracks it for you.
Yes.
The app lets you know, like, hey, you didn't go down this
right,
road.
Right. So that kind of checks them off for you.
Actually, I got an email. It was a little late, but I got an email from Mosaic where it said, like, hey, you finished this person's track. You should go and check something else. It was,
oh,
it
really?
Was interesting. Yeah.
That is interesting.
All right. Well, there you go. That's a recommendation from Mosaic. And it's been interesting because I feel like we've been on a streak on Nerd Nuptial on this show. We've been on a good positive streak. Blade Runner 2049, Stranger Things 2.
Are you like
Mindhunter?
Trying to brace everyone for impact here.
Thor, Ragnarok. You know, like it's just been very positive. And but before we get into that, before we get into our movie review of Justice League. One thing that I want to talk about, and one thing that actually I've gotten a little bit on the side, I've gotten a few questions here and there about our relationship. I mean, like, this is...
What do you want to know?
Like, this is a, you know, like if you are first-time listeners, this is Nerd Nuptial. This is a show where it's we as a married couple looking at nerd life through that married lens. And so the girl and I were talking, and because we've gotten a few questions like this, we wanted to open it up formally to you guys. If you have questions about a relationship, or if you want advice, if we could be so bold.
I don't know. Hey,
but like a couple people.
They might be interesting.
I think it could be interesting. Maybe it would be good. Maybe it wouldn't be. But you know what? Screw that. I feel like we have a great relationship. We have a very loving relationship with a lot of communication. And people pick up on that on the show. At least that's what they have told me. And so a couple of people have asked advice-like questions. And so if you guys want to do that, feel free to do that. It doesn't have to be nerdy, but it can be, of course.
Yeah.
It could be general relationship questions. It could be dating advice. Or we can, of course, apply any question to our own experience. That's all that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do have a kind of question like that, you can go to thenerdparty.com/contact, select Nerd Nuptial from the drop-down menu, and fill out the form. It'll send us an email. You can also find us on Twitter at Join Nerd Party. You can find me personally on Twitter at The Insane Robin. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheNerdParty. And if you want to keep it anonymous, you can do so. Just note that in your email.
Yeah.
But yeah, just feel free.
Yeah. If there's any questions you have about us, like, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what it would be.
Even just about our history or anything like that. Or also show topics, too. I mean, like, we love getting show topics.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So if you have something or like a movie that you want us to talk about or a concept you want us to talk about, please let us know by going to thenerdparty.com/contact. So, Justice League.
We've talked about enough positive things, so now we can get into Justice League. Do we even do like a spoiler free part first? Should we do that?
Well, here's a spoiler free section. So when we went to we've been doing we've been doing premiere night,
yeah,
like hardcore lately.
Yeah,
like everything we've seen in the theater lately has
been. I think the last time we were like saying how, wow, we were silly for going to Sunday afternoons because Sunday like mornings. The old yeah. people, because it's much more fun to see it the first time with a bunch of nerds,
yeah,
right, like that are really engaged and into it. So
we were just talking about that, and exactly. You like longtime listeners know that we don't like going on busy nights, but we've been really enjoying it. So we mm-hmm. continued to do it Thursday night, 6:00, first showing of Justice League. And so we get there, and you guys know that I'm a curmudgeon, and we get there, and I'm watching the trailers, and the text is blurry and ghosting. And nobody else seems to care.
That is not acceptable.
That is not acceptable in the Riddell household.
That's right.
And so I go up and I go to the guy. I tell him the story. And he's like, oh, yeah, we're on it, sir. You know, like, we're trying to fix it. Like, I'm watching it mm-hmm. right now. I was like, thank you. They were very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, it's getting a little bit better. It's getting a little bit better. But then some more text came on the screen. And it was very clear in the center, very clear on the right, still blurry on the left. And I go and talk to the guy. He's like, really? Like, he was so disappointed.
Like, that they fixed it. Yeah.
And because he thought that they fixed it. And then he started checking it out. And as the movie started, it was still blurry on the left. And I was like, okay, well, I'll just try to ignore it. And if I can't, maybe I'll go out during like a pee break and tell him or something like that. But these three people came in like right before the movie started and sat right next to us. And they were loud.
It was one of those feelings where you're like, uh-oh, this is not going to end well. This is not going to go well. Like, it was just, they're the type of people that were just, did not care who was around them at all.
And they were practically yelling.
Yeah.
To hear each other. Because yeah. This was before the movie.
And got up, like, several times. Like
we're on their phones yeah. and everything like that. I try not to judge people during the trailers.
Right. Because, like, I mean, we've all seen those trailers a lot. Right. So, I don't care.
And so I tried
but really hard. But it does kind of set a tone where you're like,
Mm-hmm. And they kept talking. But then the movie started and we were like a couple minutes into the movie and they kept talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kept talking. And I was like, okay, just get it out.
Well, and if longtime listeners know, like, Tristan has grown a lot as a moviegoer. So I have to give him this because there were many movies in our past where there was almost like a shouting match going on mm-hmm. because of talking. So before, I just wanted to preface that
Thank you.
We get into what you actually did, because
I did nothing bad. I have grown immensely because here's
You have.
Like, he kept talking. There's three of them. He kept talking, and the guy sitting next to me. And so I give a polite shh. You know, like, mm-hmm. just everything like that. And then 30 seconds goes by and they're still talking. They're waving at the screen, like pointing.
Mm-hmm.
And I turn to him. I say very politely, and I'm not joking. I'm not exaggerating. I've said very politely, excuse me, the movie has started. Could you please stop talking? the dude gets right in my face.
Yeah, like super inches,
upset. Like right out of the bat, we're not talking. We're not talking. You're talking. We're not talking. And I'm like, hey, I just need you to shut your mouth. He said, we're not talking. Who are you? I was like, listen, like I paid for the seat and I can't move. So do you want me to get the manager? And then he just starts rattling off. He's like, you turn. I said, you turn around. You're talking. I was like, I just need you to shut up. And he's just like, he's rattling off again, just incoherent noise. And I just put my finger in front of my mouth going, shh, just really, really close to him. And then he turns around. And then all of a sudden, like a couple seconds goes by. And he's just like, he's brushing off his hands really loud. And he's like moving around in a seat. He's fiddling with his seat because it's automatic ones. And then he puts his feet up on like above where his feet's supposed to go onto the glass, railing in front of us.
Where like we have seats that were practically like laying down. So he did that
and it was very much in my view. Right. Blocking the
screen. It was like towards you.
And I turned to him and I said, and you didn't hear this, but I and I'm not going to repeat what I said on the air. I said a colorful metaphor to him. I said, I was like, if you're going to be this type of person, then I described the type of person that he was.
You can use your imagination.
Then I'm, you know, like, then screw you, I'm leaving. And so he probably thought it was a victory and whatever, more power to him. But I've never left a showing before. I mean,
we've left movie before, but...
Well, I meant because of that reason.
Not because of someone.
Not because of someone.
I mean, it was also because of the screen, though, because that was ridiculous.
I think that was the thing, though, is that like I was so angry at the screen quality. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I can't stand this. I paid so much money for this. And like they're not fixing it. And then when this guy was a complete jackass next to me, I was almost like, thank you, because it was enough to get me out of the theater. And I go and I talk to the guy, like I find the manager. I was just like, I sat next to a jackass. The screen's blurry. What can you do? They sent us to the next possible showing that they could give us. They gave us really good seats and they gave us passes for the future to come and see us some movies for free.
Yeah. It was really nice.
It was very nice of the theater.
Yeah, they didn't have to do any of that.
But that was one of horrible.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I don't like people.
Well, and it just happened very fast. I was just like, what? Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
And I just got a brand new 4K HDR Dolby Vision TV at home.
It was funny because like my parents were babysitting the baby. And they're like, we just showed off we just got a new TV. That was also a thing that happened this week.
And your mom said like, why would you go to the theater? And we're like, we would love to watch Justice League at home.
Yeah, I'd love to watch it here, but we can't.
Also, on top of that. Your parents were babysitting, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, mm-hmm. and you were off in the back doing something. And they were playing with the baby, and they're like, "What are you seeing again? Like, what movie are you seeing?" I said, "Oh, we're gonna go see Justice League," and she's like, "Oh, okay. So that's with Batman and Thor, right?" And I just immediately, I just go grin ear to ear, and I was like, "Mom, just so you know, this is going in the show." She's like, what do you mean? I was like, I'm talking about this on Nerd Nuptial. And she's like, why? I said, it was like, Thor is not in Justice League. She's like, no, I'm pretty sure he is.
I love that she tried to argue with you about Thor.
She tried to argue with me about who's in what franchise. And I said, I was like, those are different franchises. She's like, well, that's why I was confused. Because I was like, one is DC, one is Marvel. Why is Thor in Justice League?
You know what? That would have been actually entertaining.
It would have been better. And I said, I was like, maybe you saw Jason Momoa, you know, yeah. Aquaman, and thought, like, no, I know who Aquaman is.
Oh my gosh.
Just so funny because she argued.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
But anyway, regardless, so we go to the new theater.
Yeah.
We have amazing seats. We're practically laying down in these new seats, mm-hmm. and they're front and center, and nobody was a jerk.
Yeah, the screen actually looked good.
The screen was in focus.
Yeah.
And then we saw Justice.
It turned into a good viewing experience,
yeah.
But we kind of had to go through like a crap precursor experience to get there.
Oh, seriously. And like 5 years ago, I probably would have gotten into a physical altercation with this guy.
Probably. But we've grown.
I've been tempered. I've been seasoned.
That's right.
By marriage and children.
Oh, okay. So it's because of me.
Oh, it is 100% because of you. I have no illusions about that.
Oh, I'm so glad.
You have very much made me a calmer person. If you want to know those tips and tricks, go to thenerdpetty.com/contact.
There's a lot of stories of past bad experiences. So, yeah, no. But I feel like, I think also a piece of advice actually is, if you do have it, I mean, maybe people are not as crazy as we are about our viewing experience.
Screen quality.
When you like pay $40 to get in the door, I expect to see something good, you know? And whether that means someone next to you who's just being a jerk. And I don't know about you, but like when something bad like that happens where like someone's in your face or like just completely like goes from 0 to 100 like immediately, it's like, how can you watch the movie after that?
You can't just ignore that it happened.
Exactly. Because like, at least for us, I'm pretty sure you included, like I would be thinking about it the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like I'd be like feeling tense or like uncomfortable the whole time because you can't escape this person. So
you
cannot escape.
Yeah, like if you, while watching the movie.
Right. Exactly. So I just feel like, instead of like having an altercation, just leave.
Just walk away.
Yeah. Whether seeing the show is the next day or just like a few minutes like us, then that's so much better.
And also,
because in the past that has not necessarily been the case.
No. Like most of the time. Like
we just kind of grin and bear it.
Like, well, no, I'm saying that like most of the time, like if I bring something up or if I, because I'm always polite, if I say to someone, it's like, hey, you know, the movie started. Mm-hmm. Do you mind not talking? Like, 80% of the time, the person's just like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's almost like they forgot. They're like, oh, sorry. You know?
And the other 19% of the time, they pretend like they didn't hear me. Like, they ignore me, and then they stop talking.
But this was pretty, I mean, maybe a few other times, because we go to the movies a lot over the past 11 years we've been together. But I feel like this was one of the extremes. Like, people don't usually go that fast to...
Because he was straight up in my face.
Oh, yeah. No, like that was... Well, when you hear about bad things happening even, where people, you know, you don't know what kind of day they've had, and they're just looking for a fight. And we live in a very stressful world right now.
Yeah.
And
people are on edge.
Exactly. So like the littlest thing like that could cause someone to like punch you.
Or worse.
Right. And exactly.
You hear about this crap happening more and more in theaters.
So it's just not worth it.
It's really not.
I mean, like all you did was ask them to get, you know, to quiet down. Now, shutting your mouth. I don't know if I would say that, but.
I started polite. Okay. Everyone.
But then the Tristan Riddell came out.
Everyone gets polite, Tristan, at the beginning.
That is true. I will give you that. Always.
Always.
Always polite.
I'm always
polite.
But
then you have no, you take no responsibility.
I'm polite with everybody I meet. The first thing that comes out of my mouth is polite. 100% of the time. They get one shot.
One strike. Yeah, but so that was interesting. But it did not affect our view of the movie.
No, it didn't. It didn't affect our view of the movie. Because
we left.
Because we left and we had a good time.
So let's try to do, I mean, we can do spoiler free for like a minute and then
for
get
a minute,
into it.
Yeah. Like there's not much to spoil.
No, there's not.
So, okay. So we've definitely been dropping some pretty heavy hints. We're almost at the half an hour mark and we have not talked about it yet.
I think we're stalling.
We are stalling.
Are
hardcore.
We? Okay. Yeah, I think we are.
So the movie, like, as we said, is like currently at 39% on Rotten Tomatoes, which means, and also like, just so everybody knows, I know how Rotten Tomatoes works. we got an email from a very cool, very concerned listener.
Yes. No, he was really cool.
He was very cool. He was a very nice guy. He said, he's like, hey, you know, like, hey, I know you have a hard time shutting your brain off, but, you know, like, because I mentioned that. I mentioned that in a previous show that I had a hard time shutting my brain off. Like,
when you see the Rotten Tomato scores.
When I see the Rotten Tomato scores, he's like, just know that it's not a rating. It's a, it's an aggregation and everything like that. So, but that's not the first time that somebody has told me that. Like, I know that it's an aggregated site.
Yeah.
It's
not, no, it was really nice.
It's not like a seal of quality. It's just like the number of critics who like it or dislike it.
Right.
So we know that. But this was a big hubbaloo. Hubbaloo? I don't know. I don't think that's a thing.
It might be.
It's like the whole Bite Frost thing all over again. But it's like it was... They didn't reveal the Rotten Tomato score right away because, like, some people are like, oh, well, you know, they're trying to hide it because it's... it's so bad and Rotten Tomatoes is owned by Warner Brothers. But it was really for another reason. Like, they were doing it on a show and they were trying to make a big thing about it, excuse me. But regardless, it was mixed reviews. Like, it was around, like, 55 or something like that.
Yeah, I think when we walked in, you were like, most people don't like this. But the people, a lot of people are like, hey, it's fun.
It's fun.
Yeah, the ones
like,
who
focus
did.
Focus on the characters. Exactly. Who cares if the plot sucks? You know, it'll be a good time.
Yeah.
And that's how we went into it.
Right. So, I mean, I guess all I wanted was more Wonder Woman, like going into it. I'm pretty sure that's what I told you.
You straight up said
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
I
was like,
I just want
Wonder Woman. And you're like, I just want Batman. And I'm like, well, then we should be okay. You know, let's just enjoy the ride.
But we were not okay. So we saw it and it's just like we went in with good intentions. And you guys, longtime listeners, know that we're not big Marvel people, but we respect Marvel.
Yes.
And we're big DC people.
And we understand that Marvel does the movies better, for sure.
Yeah, they got
right
the formula
now.
That
yes.
works. But we're big DC people, and what we mean by that is DC characters, DC comics,
yes.
DC animation,
right.
and DC movies like Nolan
right.
and Keaton and, you know, like, you know, right. Burton and everything.
Well, I like Nolan.
Well, fine. Okay. Let's draw the line in the sand, okay? You can just go along with it.
No.
Okay, all right.
All right.
That's you.
Mm-hmm.
but the DCEU, we've had a lot of trepidation with. Mm-hmm. Like, I like Man of Steel more than you.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I still think that Man of Steel was underwhelming, but I like it more and more that I every time I watch it.
Now that you remember it because of all the other things you've seen.
Probably, yeah. I look at it more fondly now. And Batman v Superman... I liked a whole lot more than you. Like, I liked Batman v Superman.
Yeah, no.
And you didn't like it at all.
No.
And we both didn't like Suicide Squad.
No.
I liked Joker and
we
Harley.
We just liked Joker and Harley. That's all we wanted to see. Yeah.
And we both liked Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't like the third act.
Right.
But we liked it overall.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
Was the what you can take away from it. And so with Justice League, like every single movie that comes, like before Wonder Woman came out, every single movie was, is this what's going to, you know, like, oh, you know, like Batman versus Superman, that's going to help, you know, like.
Go into Justice League.
That's going to help go into Justice League. That's going to save it from the mediocre reception of Man of Steel. Okay, well, that didn't happen. Well, Suicide Squad is going to be the savior. That really didn't happen. Wonder Woman's going to be the savior. And it was true. Wonder Woman
right.
carried the DCEU on her back. And then everyone thought, well, even if Justice League sucks, Wonder Woman will be the character, will continue
right.
to carry her again.
Mm-hmm.
This movie, without spoiling anything, and I've been talking for a long time, was so pointless. It hurt. It was utterly pointless. The plot was... It was like a video game.
Yeah.
It was very much like a video game. It was, okay, now I'm going to go here and get this thing. You're going to go there and get this thing. We recruit this person, and then now we're a team, and now we got to go find this box, and then we got to go to this box, and then we got to remove the boxes, and we defeat the bad guy. Credits. That was it. Like, there was very little emotion. There was very little depth in the characters. The plot was rushed. It
yeah.
was... horrible CGI. It was like while it was
the
watching,
antagonist was like pointless.
He didn't even need to be there.
Right.
Steppenwolf didn't even need to be there.
Exactly.
Because he influenced things so little that it could have just been the army of whatever parademons.
Yeah, flying bugs.
Like the flying bugs. Like it could have just been the army of parademons and the movie would have been exactly the same. And while I was watching it, I was not seething. I was not like, oh god, I hate this is horrible.
No.
I wasn't doing that.
Mm-mm.
But I also wasn't like, oh, this is great, this is fun. Once it was over, I was like, that happened. Let's move on. What did you think?
Yeah, the only thing I liked in the whole movie was the Flash.
A lot of people are saying that.
Like, he was adorable because I just love those cute nerds that are just adorable and mm-hmm. like just awkward and funny. Like, I just love that. And actually, you know what? I'm pretty sure, like, Quicksilver is my favorite and probably The Flash. they're basically the same character, essentially. But I like that attitude, you know, mm-hmm. and, like, the humor that comes from. Like, I understand it's, like, cheap kind of laughs sometimes.
Sometimes.
And I admit that and I understand that. But, like, The Flash was really needed in this movie. That comic relief was needed so bad.
So bad.
Because everyone else was being so serious, like too painfully.
Well,
so.
Even then, actually, I wouldn't even go that far. I don't think people were being too serious. I think these characters couldn't balance being serious and being funny.
Maybe you're right. I don't know.
Because there was a lot of times that Batman was trying to be funny and it just came off as awkward.
Yeah.
There were times when Aquaman was trying to be funny and it felt forced. And Cyborg was just there. And even Wonder Woman, like, Gal Gadot's acting was just extremely... Like, I feel like our bar for acting quality has been lowered so bad in superhero films. And I'm saying superhero films. I'm not talking about just DCEU. I'm talking Marvel, Fox, and DC altogether. The bar has been so lowered when it comes to acting quality once you remove Logan. Once Nolan left and you remove Logan from the scenario, the acting bar is so utterly low. And while watching this, I'm just like, these guys are acting like they're acting.
Well, and I think part of it too is just like, I wouldn't argue with you with that. Like, I honestly though, I feel like Marvel, they're better actors when it comes to like being their superhero.
Yeah.
But
that doesn't mean it's good acting.
Not necessarily, but you know what you're getting. And I think a lot of it is maybe because we rely so heavily. I mean, this one was, it just felt like you're watching a video game, like you said, that maybe that was part of it, is just like half the time it wasn't them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Do you just want to get into spoilers?
Yeah, it's just like,
it's just, okay, we were not happy.
We were not happy with it.
Mm-mm.
And we just, honestly, like, I don't say this a lot, but don't go see it in the theater.
Yeah.
It's not worth the money. Like, if you are somewhat intrigued to see it, then just wait for it on video or wait for it to come on HBO.
it won't be long.
But the thing is, though, like, but hardcore fans who would absolutely love it aren't going to be listening to me anyway. They've already seen it.
Absolutely.
You know, like, they've already bought their tickets, so that's... I'm not talking to the hardcore fans. I'm not talking to the people who know that they're going to like it. Like, if you're on the fence, don't go see it in the theater, because it's not worth the money. It may be worth your time, but it's not worth the money. It's a very subpar movie. And
completely.
I liked BVS more. And if you guys hated BVS...
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
You're not going to like this.
Yeah, this was... In my opinion, this was... And, I mean... Even you know how much, if you've listened to our BVS episode, you know how much I hated BVS. This one is worse.
That was a fun episode.
It was.
I love
that. Because you were just trying so hard to defend it.
I liked it. I liked watching it. And but I understand that it's a flawed movie.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the thing, is that, like, I've seen a lot of people give ratings to the movie.
Justice League?
To Justice
League.
And I've seen a lot of fanboys give ratings, and I've seen a lot of critics give ratings. And it's okay to like it. It's okay, of course, that's a stupid statement, but, like, what I'm trying to say is that you liking it does not mean it's a 5 out of 5 star movie.
Right. Like, there's a lot of things that you're like, oh, yeah, I like that movie, but is it a good movie? No.
Yeah. Like, I like Aeon Flux a lot. It's one of my favorite sci-fi movies.
We actually enjoy that movie.
I love it, but it's an incredibly flawed movie.
Oh, yeah. And is it a good movie? Probably not.
I mean, it's good, like, to us.
Right.
But the thing is, I'm not going to give it 5 out of 5 stars. I'm not going to give it 4 out of 5 stars. Maybe I'd give it 2.5, 3 stars just because of the quality of the film. I'm able to separate myself from my enjoyment and the quality of the film. And I think more fans need to understand that and do that.
Right.
Because with Batman v Superman, I enjoy it. I like rewatching it. But I would never give it a high score.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I feel like there has to be some separation there where you're like, okay. Like, I mean, some people were just happy to see Batman or, you know, and like, but that just wasn't enough for us.
No.
Yeah.
So, okay. Spoiler territory, if you will. Surprise, spoiler alert, starting from now on, Superman came back!
Well, okay.
What?
Come on.
Like, who guessed?
Yeah, that was kind of like the lamest reveal ever, actually.
So, okay, so here's the thing. I liked the scene of Superman coming back. Like, I liked him you know, coming back, being confused. I like him fighting Wonder Woman and Batman. And...
That's good. Start with something positive.
Yeah. Let's call it compliment sandwich. Okay. So I liked that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like how they brought him back.
Using the machine, like the same machine.
Yeah, using the same machine as Doomsday.
Yeah.
Using a box that they don't understand. And
it was like, how would they know? Like, I don't know. It seemed very, like, everything actually in this movie seemed very, like, confused. It, like, there was not really clear purpose. It was like, how would you know that?
Yeah.
A lot of the time, right?
Oh, Cyborg became this Captain Exposition / Deus Ex Machina.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever
the whole time.
Whenever they needed to know something, Cyborg knew it because he could tap into the system.
Right.
Whenever they needed to do something, Cyborg could do it because he could use his little phalange tentacles and hack into a system.
He knew everything.
He just knew everything and knew how to do it. Mm-hmm. And just, boom. He was the plot device.
Right. Well, just like how Superman became just like the powerhouse of being able to defeat whatever.
Yeah. And it's just...
Which, you know, he's Superman, but...
It's just, that's his shtick.
Right.
I don't know why it's felt wrong to me with, like, they were grave digging. Like, they literally dug up his body, and they drove him, and they used voodoo, and it just... I don't know what it was about it, but it just... It didn't sit well with me. It was too tangible.
I think you wanted more of, like... Well, I mean, I did. I wanted more of a... Like, Superman comes back, but kind of his own way.
Yes.
Like, kind of Jesus-like.
I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I think, yes.
You know, he kind of wanted him to be more.
I wanted him to rise.
Right. And then kind of reveal himself.
Of his own volition.
Exactly.
Yes.
Whereas they just brought him back, and it was kind of like, you didn't ask whether he wanted to be brought back or, you know, and there was kind of some conflict there of that was, you know, you won't let me die or you won't let me live kind of thing. And mm-hmm. But it did feel very like it shouldn't be as tangible as it was to bring him back.
You put it perfectly.
Because we wanted Jesus like ascending into
the
sky.
Yeah, I wanted like
Superman Jesus.
And they, oh my gosh, yeah. And Snyder hits the space Jesus thing really hard with Superman and Man of Steel and BVS.
Oh, yeah.
Like a lot of allegories, a lot of visual
metaphors.
Oh, yeah,
but I didn't feel like it was here.
No.
Which is strange.
It was very strange. Like, if you're ever going to make a Jesus metaphor, this is the time to do it.
Right?
Your Messiah died. What are you going to do next?
Exactly. So, I don't know. It seemed like a missed opportunity for me.
Yeah.
There was no awe to him coming back for me.
Yeah.
Was there for you?
No. It was too
It was just like, mechanical. Oh, he shot up in the sky.
It was like...
And now he's going to beat some up. You know, like, that's it. I don't know.
They might as well just put paddles on his chest.
Yeah, well, that's essentially what he did. They did.
Yeah.
It was dumb.
It was weird. It was really weird.
Yeah.
And
like, forcing this conflict with, like, Batman wants to bring him back, Wonder Woman doesn't, like, and then we're like, you know, Aquaman's, like, deciding he doesn't want to now. It's like, forced conflict.
It was a little weird forced conflict between the team. Like,
right.
The team...
Like, this is our conflict.
The chemistry of the team was very forced because they didn't earn it.
No.
They didn't earn this chemistry.
Well, even, like, you know, like, Marvel, like, spent time, like, to get to where they needed to go. And when they actually brought everyone together with the Avengers, it made sense.
Credit where credit is due.
But this, it was like... They kind of teased it in the last film of BVS that this was going to happen. But then we like spend more time with exposition here, but it wasn't even very good. And it was just very like, oh my gosh, so we're just going to like pick up this guy and pick up this guy. Okay, now we're good.
They didn't earn the right to have a team up movie.
No.
If.
Because we didn't care enough.
No, we didn't care
Like,
enough.
How do we care about these characters when we just met them?
I know. We're not invested in Cyborg. We're not invested in Flash. We're not invested in Aquaman. The only people we're invested in is Batman and Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And Batman is just by history. That's the only reason why we're invested, really.
Right.
Because in BVS, he was not with Superman. Like, he was with Superman for, like, the last 5 minutes of the film.
Right. And then we're, like, best friends because of Martha. And then now we want him back and on our team. And
I did like, though, that Superman was like, his knee jerk was, you screwed me over.
Yeah.
like the 5 minutes that he was on his team, was not enough to sway his opinion. Like, I did appreciate that. One thing I didn't like is, like, one thing I liked and didn't like was Superman held Batman by the face and said, he's like, I got a question for you. Do you bleed? Like, he's, you know, like, I'm just like, okay, it's a callback. But then Batman falls down, and in a joke, he's like, oh yeah, something's bleeding, which is very much not Batman-esque.
No.
And also, I liked that moment in BVS.
Well, it kind of takes it away.
It does. It kind of ruins that moment for me because I just...
It was epic, and now where it's not epic.
It was operatic, where it's just like, do you bleed? You will. You know, it's just... And
right.
Now it's just like... Wop, bop, 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 bop.
Yeah.
And I think that was the big difference between Batman versus Superman and Justice League. Justice League may be at 39%, and BVS might be, I think, 17 or 20 something. But
well, who knows how far it will
go. Yeah, who knows how far it will go down. But with Batman v Superman, at least they swung for the fences. I mean, it's an incredibly flawed movie. You didn't like it. I did. But at least it was big. It was grandiose. It was operatic. They were trying to do something. With Justice League, they're just checking boxes.
Yeah. And I think that just like so many times, I feel like they, even like with the comedy, they were trying so hard to be Avenger-like. But you don't have Marvel characters. You have DC characters that are more serious. So, in my opinion, you know? So, you kind of have to like stick to where what they are. Because you never showed Batman being like that. You know, example of that bleeding part, you know, on the floor. Like, you never showed him like that. That's not the Batman we know. So don't like force it in right now. I don't know. So yeah, there were just so many moments where it was a constant fight to like it.
It was. And I think the thing is that, you know, it's hard not to compare it to Avengers. And it's, as you mentioned, Marvel earned its right to do Avengers. They invested the time.
Right.
And Justice League tried to cheat. DCEU tried to cheat by jumping ahead, and it didn't work.
Right.
And I think they knew it was not going to work because they announced before the movie came out, right before the movie came out, that they were going to focus more on standalones, and they're going to focus more on alternate realities in the multiverse and where it's going to be separate from continuity. We're getting a Joker film that's going to be separate from...
From everything.
From everything. It's not going to be Jared Leto's Joker. And, you know, like Margot Robbie, Harley Quinn's not going to be in it. It's going to be gritty. I think it's going to be produced by Scorsese.
Oh, wow.
You know?
That's like, pretty cool.
If that actually happens.
Right, right.
But if they're going to do more of it, like, just make it, like, just make your movies. It doesn't have to be Marvel. It doesn't have to be connected. I don't need to have a post-credit scene to tie it into the next movie.
Exactly.
It's okay.
Exactly.
And they said that they were going to be a director-driven franchise, but they're clearly not. They abandoned that hard.
Oh, yeah.
After Nolan left, because Nolan Batman films are not DC films.
Nolan films. And now we're just like hanging on to Snyder for some reason. I don't know why. And it's just not working.
I think this is going to be... I'm actually very interested to see where the franchise goes with Snyder not at the helm. He's going to be a producer on a lot of things. He's going to be an EP on a few things. But he's not going to be the director. And so I'm very interested to see what happens with the Flash movie, with the Aquaman movie, with Wonder Woman 2, with this Batman proposed trilogy. And we're not going to get another team-up movie for a very long time. And I don't think we should.
No, I don't think it wasn't time now. And I don't think it's time yet. Like, I think that they need to spend the time. Like, the organization Marvel had where they're like, okay, we're going to do all these films, standalone, and then we do the Avengers. That makes sense. You can't just say, oh, well, look at that Marvel money. Let's go get it.
Yeah.
You know, let's make Justice League. It doesn't work like that.
No. And it's what really bothers me. And I don't say this very often because I'm not one of those guys. But I wish that they did something more like the Justice League comics. Like in 2011, when they rebooted the DC universe and they rebooted the Justice League. I loved that story and I think that this would have been perfect for the DCEU. It would have been absolutely perfect to do their second film. Like if you have Man of Steel And you establish the universe, you establish Superman, the head of the table, and then if you wanted to do a team-up film, this is the scenario that's in the comics would have been perfect, because what happens is that Darkseid comes to Earth, and he brings his parademons,
right?
And all his parademons like fly throughout Metropolis and just start picking people off. They just start grabbing people and taking them back to the ship and then to another dimension to process them and to be more parademons. And like, just things are going crazy. And because this is such a huge event, metahumans and superheroes all over the world go to Metropolis
to help.
To help out. Because they're like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. They're not a member of a Justice League. They don't even know who each other are. Like, Wonder Woman doesn't know Batman. Batman doesn't know Superman. Superman doesn't know Green Lantern. Green Lantern doesn't know Shazam. Mm-hmm. And so their personalities are fighting against each other. They don't like each other. But then they start to realize that the only way to defeat Darkseid is to work together. And once they actually defeat Darkseid, they're like, okay, well, if the world is ever in peril again, maybe we could call on each other. Make it a group thing.
Right. That makes sense.
And that way you can introduce all these characters and they don't have to know each other.
Right. And then you kind of like test who do you want to make a standalone movie of? And
like,
then,
who do we like?
Right. Who tests well?
Exactly. Yeah. Who tests well?
Like, who do you like? Oh, you like The Flash? Okay. We'll have one of those movies, you know? That makes so much more sense, but they don't talk to us.
They don't, you know, they like, don't talk to us, not, so, they're not knocking down our door.
I don't know.
It's weird.
It's strange.
Okay. So, one thing that like everyone's talking about that I totally
the
missed.
The skirt.
I totally missed that.
You're kind of upset about it, aren't you? A little bit, right? Okay, so yeah, like the entire time when you watch Wonder Woman, the movie, you're like, oh, it's so like they're really careful about like showing these powerful women, but not like you're not gawking at them. Mm-hmm. You know, like their costumes are very like modest in their own way, but strong and powerful. And, like this one, like I saw her butt cheeks like 5 times.
How did I miss that?
Like, they kept doing like shots where like they were up her skirt.
Cause you mentioned that right when we left the theater.
Yeah. That was like my thing.
And then I logged on to our insider chat on the Nerd Party and everybody's just like, yeah, what's the deal? Why do they keep doing that? And like, you know, like Lee Hutchison, who's the host of Filibuster on the network, he said, he's like, well, this is the guy who, directed Sucker Punch. So, of course, it's going to be up the skirt.
Yeah.
And I was just so confused. I just don't know how I didn't. Because, like, people are tweeting about it. They're blogging about it.
Yeah, it made me so mad.
And I was just like, where was I looking?
Well, and what a waste of, like, you know, all of the Amazons, too. I felt like it was such a waste of their time. And it was just, it was like, no. Like, if you're going to spend time there, then actually spend some time there. Or don't.
I didn't like it. Kind of hurt a little bit seeing the Amazons smack down so hard.
Yeah, because they were so powerful. And, and you know, the fact that they had, like, in the lore, like, they had, like, fought these guys before. Mm-hmm. It felt like, wow, they were picked off pretty fast for that to happen. I don't know. It did kind of piss me off. And I also was kind of interested in the Atlantis storyline. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to see a little bit more of that, where we got, like, maybe, like, what, 2 minutes of it?
Well,
I mean, I get that there's more to come, and I understand they can't spend too much time there, but that stuff was way more interesting to me. Like, I'm trying to find positives here. That stuff was more interesting to me than where we did spend our time.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, like, we heard, like, before the movie came out, we heard that Batman and Wonder Woman were very much the lead, which is what we wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we're both big Batman and Wonder Woman fans.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm watching the movie, I didn't feel like Batman was in it.
No, like, I didn't feel that way either.
He was so blasé. Ben Affleck just seemed so uninterested. And like, I heard
it's not like he was phoning him in.
I heard a counterpoint to that was just like, oh, well, you know, he's been Batman for a long time. He's an older Batman. And so he's just tired of
because
doing
of that
this.
One comment that was made.
And that's
between
the thing.
He and Wonder Woman.
I understand if that's your opinion and you have your right to your opinion. And I'm not saying it's wrong. But to me, there's a difference between showcasing an exhausted character and showcasing an exhausted actor.
Yeah, it just didn't seem like he wanted to be there.
And also they skewed him way younger. Like, they were trying to make him seem like he was 60 in BVS, and in this he seems like he's 40.
Yeah, it was like they couldn't make a decision.
It was really weird. And I just felt, I felt like even Gal Gadot was phoning it in, where like she was trying to tap some sort of emotional space that she couldn't get to. And also,
Can we talk about...
Please go. Please go ahead.
So she's just like not been Wonder Woman for like over 100 years, right?
I think that's what they were kind of alluding
because to. Because of the guy she met 1 week. And so like now she's just like, well... Screw you, world. I'm just going to go, like, restore, you know, different artwork, sculptures.
I think Gal Gadot...
So she's like, screw it.
I think Gal Gadot said in an interview that she might not have been Wonder Woman in a costume that entire time, but she was still helping people and, you know, like, and doing things like that.
Whatever. That doesn't sound
I know.
Right
it sounds like
me.
A cop-out, but...
Well, especially if it was said in the movie, it was like... And then she was like, I love someone once, which was such... I was like, oh, shut up, shut up.
That was... Yeah.
It pissed me off.
I understand losing someone can be crazy, but here's the thing.
It was 100 years ago.
It was 100 years ago. You hung out with him over a weekend. I know that you lost your male virginity to him. But it was over 100 years ago. It was a weekend. A fun weekend? But really, like, is it going to be that touchy? Like, it just...
That you don't help, like,
that you
the
don't
human
help the world, like, the human race.
You don't help them.
Or, and also, like, Batman can get under your skin by making one comment and you throw him across
the
room.
I was going to say, and, like, and actually, if that was the case, the idea that, like, that was what got her out of hiding was the picture, which is that's terrible storytelling if that's the case. Like, that's just terrible. Like, that's what got you into costume again. What? It hurts my head. It hurts. I don't like it.
Ugh. So, yeah, it was weird. Like, I understand, but
it was backstepping too for her character.
From a writing standpoint, that's the only frame of reference we have, is that one interaction, is that one boy. But it's okay. Like, have her have trauma from leaving her people. Have her have trauma from something that we don't know about.
Right. Like, she's not been with her mom for, like, that long. And she's like, you know, her mom knows that she's out there. Like, I don't know. It's just...
I just think it's antithetical to what Wonder Woman is for her not to move on from a boyfriend she had for one weekend.
Right.
For 100 years.
Yeah, that's really sad. That is really sad.
Think about that.
It's really sad, and it makes me frustrated as a woman, because it's like, oh wow, like, so she wasn't strong enough to move on from that, mm-hmm. like, and actually use her power. Like, and when you say, like, okay, yeah, she wasn't wearing her costume, well, she was just fine with wearing her costume before. So it just pissed me off. Don't get me started.
Yeah, and with Flash, like, even though he had some much needed relief and he was an interesting character, I felt like Ezra Miller's delivery a few times was way too over the top and kind of gritted on me.
I kind of excused it because he was the only thing that was keeping me watching.
Like, when he's just like, Dostoevsky! And
then
runs away.
Oh, yeah, that part was a little cheesy.
I'm like, oh, good Lord.
Yeah, that was painful.
Their attempt at one-liners was so sad.
Yeah.
Like, when at the end of the movie.
Like, booyah.
When they defeat the bad guy in Cyborg. Like, they have a close-up on Cyborg. And he just goes, pause, pause, pause. Booyah.
I know. It was
you and
so...
I laughed.
We did.
We giggled. And we nobody did. Else giggled in the theater. We're like, oh, wait, that wasn't supposed to be funny.
I know.
Oh, geez.
We just laughed. We were like, oh, man, that's so painfully bad.
Painfully bad. So, yeah, like, the more I talk about it, the more I dislike it. It's like, when I walked out of the theater, I was just like, okay, didn't love it, didn't hate it, whatever. Now I'm just like...
No, I did not like it.
Yeah.
But I think the thing also that actually when we walked out of the theater, something we talked about was this movie... Okay, so we hated Suicide Squad. But at least it had a vision
mm-hmm.
and a tone and its own style. Whereas this one was just a hot mess.
I went back and forth on it. Like, I went back. I was like, because when I left the theater, I was just like, oh, Suicide Squad is still the worst. It's still the worst. It's a bad foreign movie and everything like that. But the more that I thought about it.
Which one would you rather, like, watch? Again,
I'd rather watch Suicide Squad.
Right.
Even though even in Suicide Squad, the plot doesn't make sense.
Oh, it makes no sense.
The characters are horrible.
No.
And the writing is unfathomable, but it has a style. It tries to be entertaining, and it tries to be, it doesn't make it, but it tries to be something. Right. It attempts to be something larger than it actually is.
And something different.
And something different. And Justice League was just, here you go. Just we're just slapping it down on the table. And
here are your characters.
Now we can move on with Aquaman and Flash and Cyborg. There you go.
Yeah.
You're welcome,
like,
nerds.
It felt like checking a box.
Yeah, a mother box. Okay.
That was a really shoehorned in idea, too. It was like, okay, well, there's these mother boxes, and they're really close together, and then...
Now we just gotta pull them apart.
Now we just gotta pull them apart. Cool. And we just learned about them just a little bit ago.
Oh, don't even get me started on CGI Superman. Like, I don't even care about, like, the mustache thing. Like... But, like, when he was fully CGI, it looked like a PlayStation 3 video game character.
Bad.
Okay?
Green screen was really bad, too.
So much was green screen. Like, yeah. When they were in the field of corn, it was green screen. I was like, you couldn't go
to a cornfield?
To a cornfield?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, was it really that much more expensive to take the crew?
It was weird.
So much was so fake and out of touch. And I know a lot of people were complaining about Steppenwolf being CGI and he shouldn't have been CGI. I thought the CGI on Steppenwolf was okay. That was not the issue. The issue was that he wasn't needed and he was flat. There was nothing about him. He had no characteristics. You can't describe him without describing his visual characteristics. Because we knew nothing about him.
Yeah, there was no... Like, I'm thinking about even, like, with... thinking about, like, Thor. Because we just watched Thor. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're going to do a bad guy, at least do a little bit more, like, that we care about, you know, like, at least give us something. Whereas this one was just like, I'm here now.
Yeah.
And then we fight.
Defeat me and then
I'm
gone.
And gone. And there was, it was very anticlimactic when we did defeat him.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
It was just like, okay.
I was like, oh yeah, his own parademons take him out.
Cool.
And Superman hit him really hard. It's just, yeah. Like, all of a sudden, like, Superman's chipper now.
Yeah.
And he's not emo.
Yeah. You know?
I don't like, I'm glad that he's chipper now, but it felt off. It works in the Christopher Reeve movies because he was always that way.
Mm-hmm.
He was always truth, justice in the American way.
But now it feels off-putting.
Also the music. Screw you, Danny Elfman. Okay. Screw you. What the hell is wrong with you? He used nothing of Hans Zimmer's.
I know.
Hans Zimmer established the world. Like,
I know.
I mean, whether you like it or hate the DCEU, Hans Zimmer's stamp is on it. And you didn't hear the Superman theme. The Band of Steel theme.
No. What about when we were in the field? Dun, like, you didn't even hear it when you were in the field.
You didn't even hear it in the CGI cornfield.
Exactly.
And that pisses me off, like, so bad.
Not even like a touching moment? Like, oh my God.
No. But what you did hear... was you heard a few bars of the Christopher Reeve Superman theme, which was inappropriate, and I might be overreacting, but
just a little.
It was disrespectful, because the moment that Danny Elfman chose to use those few bars from the old Superman films was when Superman was punching down his own monument.
Yeah, I noticed that.
That was ill-timed. I don't know if it was on purpose or what. But it was when Superman wasn't himself and he was punching down his own monument with names of people who died in the first attack.
Right.
And I think that's disrespectful to the current Superman character. I think it's disrespectful to the old Superman character. Maybe I'm taking it too seriously.
I don't know why they would do that.
And also, you heard the first few bars, a few bars from the 1989 Batman theme when Batman came out. That's not your Batman. Danny Elfman.
No, like, I don't understand why would you do that?
And also, I don't know if everybody noticed this, there was some Joker in there too. In France, when the guy came in with the suitcase and they were going to blow up something in France. Like,
oh, I didn't notice
they heard
that.
The dun, 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 dun. Like, that was Joker's
theme.
That was Joker's theme from 1989.
Very astute, baby. Very astute.
It was like Danny Elfman was just... I almost said something inappropriate. I stopped myself.
Good job.
Thank you.
We're learning self-restraint.
I like Danny Elfman, but he was the wrong man for the job, and some producer should have just put him down and spanked him. Just like not in public, okay? Like, not in front of people, like, not to shame him, but just to let him know what he did was wrong.
I think also, to be completely honest, I can't really, in right now, I'm trying to think of like actually hearing the music from what we watched, and I'm having a hard time. It was nondescript because, well, first of all, he borrowed a lot from inappropriately himself.
And from the 70s.
Right. And then it just was, I didn't really notice it, but in a bad way. Like, I didn't like it. It was rough, guys. It was really rough.
I gotta stop.
Yeah,
I gotta
stop. We gotta stop.
I got things to do.
Can you get in a happy mood? Go watch something good.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. And let us know what you thought of Justice League. Are we way off the mark? Did you like it? Did you know it was flawed and still like it? Did you think it wasn't flawed?
Would you give it any star?
I'd give it 1.5.
I'll give it like one.
One. Out of five.
Yeah.
Like when I left the theater, I would have given it 2.5 stars because it was a middle of the road movie.
Oh no, it's not. We're way worse.
After ranting about it, 1.5. 1.5 stars. All right.
We wanted it to be good.
We love Batman. We love Wonder Woman. We love Flash. We love these characters. And we were just like, okay, if the movie sucks, if the plot sucks, at least we can enjoy the characters. And we couldn't even do that.
No.
And if you could, if listeners, if you could, more power to you.
Absolutely.
And we are not those people who are like, oh, you're wrong in liking it, or like you're wrong and thinking it was good. No, not at all.
No.
If you love it, good.
More power to you.
More power to
you. Just like Tristan and BBS.
Hurtful. I'll be waiting by the bat phone for your apology. All right. I love you.
I know.
Scully.
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
I don't know.